review, would you take a moment and turn it to vibrate or turn it off? We'd appreciate your cooperation. Take your songbook, turn to page number 228. Let's all stand together as we sing. I will sing the wondrous story. 228.
I'm not. Cross changes Amen, choirs. You did great today. It has been good to already be in the house of God. If you're visiting with us this morning for the first time, we're so glad that you've come to join us to worship this morning. Choirs will be singing again next week, all of them, except we'll have the crown jewel. The children's choir will be added next week. So it'll be four different choir specials next week to celebrate Easter Sunday, and so come and enjoy that. Don't forget the Easter sunrise service will be starting at 7 o'clock. The sun is set to come up at 7:14, I believe it is. The sun is going to come right over the trees right over there, like last year. Be our second time doing this, so I hope you'll come and be a part of that service and enjoy yourself during that. Don't forget this Wednesday night with the Discovery Bible Club with the Easter egg hunt right before church service Wednesday evening. Bring your candy no later than tonight. That will be a big help to the Discovery Club. It is good to be back from Honduras. We had a good trip over there. And perhaps tonight, if Brother Hector will bring his guitar, we'll sing a Spanish song for y'all that he taught us. So if he'll bring his guitar, that's what we'll do tonight. We'll do that evening service. Let's go to Luke chapter number 23. Luke 23. It has been a blessing to be part of the men's mentoring club, the Fishers of Men Club. We closed it out yesterday. Men, if you are not able to make it, please reveal yourself to the one that you've been praying for and talking to and leaving little gifts for, so they know who has been caring for their soul. It's a great responsibility to do so, and so I appreciate Brother Hector overseeing that and getting it put together, and that was a blessing this quarter to do that. And it was an honor for me to be able to pray for the young man that was put on my list to pray for and to spend time getting to know. And I'm sorry I missed the breakfast yesterday. I had to be in Maitland at 9 o'clock, and the men's breakfast was at 8, and I just couldn't split myself. But, Jared, you are a blessing to me. So thank you for allowing me to pray for you this past quarter. Luke 23 and 33. We're going to continue our studies, our series, Look at the Cross. As we go on today. Now today is what the world calls Palm Sunday, and you understand what that was when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. What was he riding on? Yeah, I should know. They made me the donkey in Honduras and then took pictures of all of that. Thought they was really cute. Brother Hector said, "Pastor, will you be my donkey right on the spur of the moment?" And so I got down there, and everybody jumps out of their cameras and start taking pictures. So I know I can be a donkey sometimes. I promise you that. So I fit the part really well when that came to it. But he rode into town, into Jerusalem, on a donkey that had never been rode. Green, had not been handled at all. Of course, they cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." Well, they was really giving it a real go at celebrating the king. One week later, we find him on the cross of Calvary. And that's where we pick up this morning there in Luke 23 and verse number 33. Between two thieves, just one more soul. Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 33. We'll read down to verse number 43, and then we'll spend some time in the Word of God this morning. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Verse 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Verse 38. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art the same in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Here we are, Palm Sunday's past. They've done judged him, brought him before Pilate, condemned him, scourged him, placed the crown of thorns upon his head. Now they've got him on the hill called Golgotha, between two thieves, three crosses, three men. Jesus dying between these two thieves. One dying for sin, one dying in sin, one dying just to simply sin. Isn't that amazing? How the one there, condemned to death, and even up until this point, willing to just continue to go down the path of the sin trail that he was on. There were two there paying their debts to society. They had been criminals, had stolen, they had probably killed and robbed, and of course Barabbas was set free, but there was one there paying my sin debt. Jesus, hanging on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, there between two thieves. Pastor, why did it happen that way? Because the Bible said it would. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 9. Isn't it amazing when Jesus said, I come to fulfill the Scripture, fulfill the law? He truly meant it. And boy, He did He. Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 9. Isaiah 53 and verse number 9. There the Bible says to us, And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11. And he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. That's why he had to hang there on the cross of Calvary. Every activity, every event, everything that's happened up to this point has happened because God said it would happen this way. God has been true to His Word up to this point of our studies. And I declare to you, dear friend, that God is true to His Word still yet today. The Bible says God cannot lie. What do you mean, Pastor? It means this. When He says there's a wage of sin, and that wage is a payment called death, eternal separation from God, but a gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, dear friend, He meant it. It is so. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. This morning, as we visit the cross of Calvary, in our mind's eyes, we look there upon the cross of Calvary, and we see the two thieves, one on one side, one on the other, and Jesus Christ there in the middle. I want you to know that Jesus had something that was on his mind. He was concerned here at the last moments of his life. Here, just a few hours that would pass, there would be a time when Jesus would give up the ghost. There'd be a time when he would take his very last breath as God-man here upon this earth as he hung there on the cross. And during this last few hours of his life, he had something that was so weighted upon his heart and upon his mind that he gave us such a great example, and that was the soul of a man that railed upon him, a soul of a man that hung there justly beside him. He was so concerned about just seeing one more soul come to the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you, dear friend, I am, as a man of God, my prayer many times is like John there on the Isle of Patmos, Lord, even so, come quickly. I'm looking for the day when the trump of God shall sound, and we that are alive in Christ Jesus shall be caught up out of here, and we shall be given a new body. We shall be like Christ. We shall know Him as He is, and those which are dead and gone on before and lay resting in the grave shall be caught up together with us, and forever we shall be with Him in heaven and spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, worshiping and praising God. You say, well, why, if this world is so wicked and things are so bad, and it seems on every hand there is sin and wickedness that crosses our path, why has not Jesus come back yet? I'll tell you why. Just one more soul. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's somebody else here in America. There's somebody else in Canada. Somebody else in Mexico. Somebody else in South America. Somebody else in Africa. Somebody else in Asia. Somebody around this world that the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with. And God knows if they're about on the verge to turn their life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He holds back the trump of God. Oh, it's going to sound different. When? Only God knows. Only God knows. And as God gives that call, it's going to be this question. What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? So as we visit, I want you to verse 39, I want you to notice the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself. Save thyself. And this is the guy next door. It's not just the one that we see here that's not doing the railing. Because I want you to back up just for a moment and look at Matthew chapter 27. Hold your place there and look at the account in Matthew 27. It actually starts out both of them. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 44. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 44. Listen to what the Bible says. The thieves, plural, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth, the thieves, both of them. What was the difference here in the change? What was the difference that one of them continued the railing upon the Lord Jesus Christ? If thou be the Christ, save us and save ourselves. Isn't it amazing, friend? Many times we get phone calls here, from the community, either from maybe a homeowner association or something of that nature. Maybe somebody will call and they need some help with something, some benevolence, or a light bill or something of that nature. Car broke down, something unexpected. And one of the questions I ask is, what church do you attend, and what's your pastor's name? And has your church helped you? I would say, honestly, 9 times out of 10, they don't even give a good answer. They don't go to church, they have no concern for church. Isn't it amazing? You're doing things well, and everything's going right, and everything's going good, but as soon as it goes bad, all of a sudden we need God. So you have these two things. This is going pretty bad, Brother Ray. You got two things, one on the one side, one on the other. You've got nails in your hands. You've done been beat. You've done been scourged. You've done been condemned. You know you hang there guilty, and yet you're still willing to revile and to speak ill of the Lord Jesus Christ who hangs there innocent. Let me tell you something, dear friend. We need to get to the point in our life where we need Jesus in our life in the good times and the bad. Jesus is not in this for good, fair weather friends, dear friend. He's a friend that's stuck closer than a brother. He's in this for the long haul. He's the God on the mountain, the God on the valley. He is the one that walks down into the valley, the shallow death. He takes us by the hand. He leads us back up, places our feet on solid rock. He is there for us. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And some homeowner association, this is amazing. This is going to get you real good. One homeowner association called last year. We'd like to hold our annual meeting at your church. I said, aren't you the same one that wrote me a letter and said that we cannot come to your community and pass out tracts? No, sir. That wasn't even. I pulled out the file and I said, is this not? I'm not going to tell you because some of you might live there. Go get on to them. I said, is this not your community? Oh, yes. This is your letter. And yet you don't want us to come into your community and pass out the gospel. You don't want us to come door to door and spend time sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with them. But you're willing to come and ask if you can borrow our church building. That's like this thief right here. If you be Jesus, save us and yourself. Dear friend, we all need Jesus. He is Jesus. Well, what's the difference? What happened here? Both of them are real. What took place? I believe it was this statement. Look back up there in Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter 23. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe it was the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that what of God, Sister Barbara, what of God brings us to repentance? The goodness of God. Here's Jesus, the creator of all things. He spoke everything into existence, dear friend. If we go back and we study it, when they came to the Garden of Gethsemane and they called out, well, we're here for Jesus, and Jesus said, I am, something happened there to the crowd. They stumbled and fell back when he said, I am. Why? Because he is the Almighty God. So this is, he could have called legions of angels to come down and they could have took him off the cross. I think the thief there that hung there condemned had reviled and railed. And it's kind of like what the Bible says. When somebody does us wrong, Brother Ethan, when somebody does us wrong, they stab us in the back. The Bible says we are to not return evil for evil, but return good for evil. Pay back that evil with good. And the Bible says it's like heaping coals of fire upon their head, and it really gets at them. And it's funny sometimes. I'm telling you, I'm not always that way. Sometimes I'm just corny. But I try. Brother Hyatt, when somebody's been ugly, I try to bite my tongue, but there's sometimes it just comes out. You catch me at the wrong time, you catch me when I'm walking in the flesh, it's just going to come out. If you're going to be ugly to me, please, why don't you send me a text or an email and say, Pastor, on the 12th, I'm going to really get at you, and so I can spend some time fasting and praying. Because you're walking the wrong time, I'm just being honest, I'm human. But I've noticed that, Brother David, I've noticed that whenever I've been in the walking of the Spirit and been controlled in the Spirit's, I've been yielding myself to the ministry of righteousness. When somebody speaks ill or cuts me off or they're bad, and you're just kind, man, it's like they bow up. It makes them madder. Like at the beginning, it shocks them. Like they were expecting you to do something. He calls a fire. And I think this must have been the difference, the compassion that he saw upon the Lord. Here's Jesus. Hey, the Bible says his bones looked upon his bones. He's an ugly mess. He's got a crown of thorns. He's been up for hours upon hours. He's been in judgment after judgment. He's been spit upon, buffeted. He's been, now he's bleeding. He's laying there hanging naked upon the cross of Calvary in shame. And he's looking down upon those who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And something happens. Something happens. One thief continues. But the other, seeing the compassion of the Lord, it touched him. And we have a change of heart. Let me tell you something, dear friend. We ought to be compassionate to people. It breaks my heart when I see two Christians going at each other. I mean, it really does. It breaks my heart if I see a Christian going at a lost person. Worse, dear friend, but save people. The Holy Spirit of God living in me, the Holy Spirit of God living in you, my spirit bears witness with your spirit that we are the children of God. We know that we pass from life unto death because we love the brethren. It breaks my heart when I see God's people not having compassion. Because we've been given a great example in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me over in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, look at verse 17. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Dear friend, we have the greatest of all examples in the Lord Jesus Christ on compassion. We need to get to the point, dear friend, where we walk and yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us, that as we see needs, we see people that have something that we can help with, that our eye affects our heart. Instead of putting our eyes closed and dimming our eyes and turning our head, we need to look as Jesus looked upon that crowd. And you say, well, I know what they did, and I know how they lived, and I know this type. And do you think Jesus didn't know the God who knows all? As he looked down from the cross of Calvary? Brother Jim, I'm kind of in my mind's eye, I'm kind of seeing the centurion who bang hit that there nail and bang hit that nail. And I'm seeing the centurion with the vinegar and he's trying to shove it in the Lord's mouth. I'm seeing the centurion over there, the soldier who probably won the lot, and he's holding the clothes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't it say that they cast lots, they gambled for the clothes, Lord? I see them over there, and Jesus there. I'm seeing Jesus look down upon Peter and Mary and all of us, and the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders, and he's looking down at the ones who falsely accused them, and he's saying, Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you think for a moment that the one who nailed his feet to the cross, his hands to the cross, just all up, packed his picnic and went off to a fishing camp somewhere? He was on duty. He was there in the crowd. Later on, whenever the ground shakes and the darkness comes and the veil is rent, the one centurion, a soldier of soldiers, the one that had been promoted up to captain, the one that had led armies and raids and military events, he said, surely this was the Son of God. I wonder what caused that. Could it have been the compassion? Y'all know I get these old wives' tale sayings all mixed up, so I'm going to try to get this one right. You catch more flies with sugar, or is it honey? Man! You catch more flies with honey than vinegar. What does it say? What's that say? What does that old say? You get more accomplished with compassion. I believe the biggest change here in this here thief's life was the fact that Jesus was concerned with others and not his own suffering. Father, forgive me. Think about these two thieves. Now, the Bible doesn't give us much information about it. We don't know their name. We don't know their age. We don't know their background. We don't know what village they were from, what area, if they were Galilean, if they were... They may have been even strangers. The Bible doesn't even say they were Jews. This here, the one could have... Wouldn't that have been amazing? You know how the Jews felt about Samaritans. Not Samaritans too, but Samaritans. Well, they were a little brought back, about his parable about the Good Samaritan, wasn't they? So here it was. He could have been just a common old thief from a different land, a mercenary, been paid to come and to fight against the Roman government. Who knows? We do know that both of them were guilty. Both of them deserved. Well, how do you know that? He admits it. We're here. Justly. We're here. We've done wrong. We deserve to be executed. But this man, the thief said, he's done nothing amiss. Isn't it amazing that Pilate had the same judgment? He said, I find no fault in him. This man's done nothing wrong. Pilate's wife. Leave this just man alone. The thief hanging on the cross. He's done nothing amiss. We are justly being condemned. What was the difference there? I believe, Brother Jim, that he began to compare himself with Jesus. You know what I think our problem is many times? We compare ourselves among ourselves. We justify ourselves among ourselves. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. That's not wise. Because if we want to really know how we stand with God, we better line ourselves up with the plumb line of God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We better start looking at our lives and comparing our lives. Why should we do that? Because it is the predestined will of God that we be conformed to the image of God, of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Good. Paul was a great man. But Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. What's he saying? Follow Christ. John was a tremendous man. What did he say? Behold the Lamb of God. He must increase, I must decrease. We got some great godly men here in the church, dear friend. They're not godly upon their own. They're godly because they choose to be conformed and chiseled out and to be brought about and conformed into the image of Christ. I think this man, when they first dropped that cross and it hit the ground and he shook, and then Jesus, and then the other one. I believe he was just as angry then. Until he saw the compassion of the Lord. He looked at that other thief and how the other thief could not see. He was guilty. And he saw the compassion and he began to compare himself. Boy, when we compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, we see how wretched we really are. Isaiah chapter 6, I believe it is, verses 1 through 8 gives us a good picture of that, doesn't it? When King Uzziah died, Isaiah finally saw the Lord. You know what Isaiah was? He had his eyes upon man. But man, when he saw the Lord, you know what he said? Woe is me. The compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice the comparison between the two thieves. The thieves, as they looked at each other, looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. One thief tunes out the voice of God. The other thief turns his listening ear. What's the Bible say? If you have an ear to hear, let hear what the Spirit say. The one thief done tuned him out. Some of you done tuned out because your basketball team done got knocked out of the bracket. You ain't even paying no attention to it. You tuned out of God. You ain't listening to God. Some of you tuned out because you had an argument with your brother or sister on the way to church because they touched your cell phone or your wife didn't, you know, get up in time to get you some breakfast. Get your own self up. Put your bowl of cereal in the bowl and eat. I ain't gonna lie, this ain't caveman years. Get mad because she ain't fixed you something to eat. Why didn't you fix her something? Amen! Yes, sir! I got one on that one. There you go, sister. I ain't even gonna look over that way and see who said it. Amen. She knows. Amen. Jesus Christ is presenting His church a bride for Himself. What's that mean? He's working on us. Work on your bride. Then you notice the thief. The two thieves. One just tuned out God. One heard His voice there. I'm going to ask you this morning, how are you compared to... Compare yourselves with the two thieves. I'm not saying any of y'all are criminals. I've been post office here lately. I hadn't noticed any of y'all's pictures up there. But compare yourself with the response, not with their life, because that's what we do, brother. Do you know what we do? Well, I ain't stole nothing, so I'm pretty good. I'm not reviled. I'm not yelling at Jesus and telling Him to save me and say, oh, yes, we do. Let the bills come due. And the hours that added up, that your boss cut you back, you was depending upon some overtime, then all of a sudden, Lord, where are you? He ain't left. He's been there. He's still there. And we do just like that one thing. Lord, save me! You're God! You know what He done told us? I've got a cattle on 1,000 hills. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But there's a price for foolish living. You reap what you sow. It's a biblical principle. It's that simple. This ain't going to be a money class. I'm not Dave Ramsey or what's the other one? Clark Howard. But it's a simple biblical truth. You spend more than you got, you're going to hurt it one time or another. You can't blame God. Can't. Oh, my mom, my dad, they got cancer. Why would God give it? God did. That's a result of sin, dear friend. God made everything good. Man chose this path. Man did, not God. God loves us. He sent His only begotten Son. If you didn't read with me Isaiah chapter 53 a while ago, the Bible says it pleased God to bruise His Son for you and I. And I noticed the conversion of this saint, this thief. In verses 42 and 43, would you read there in Luke chapter 23, verses 42 and 43 with me? And he said unto Jesus, don't you notice this? Jesus is there hanging on the cross. He was condemned as if He was guilty. We know the whole story. The Bible says He was without sin. The thief could recognize that. But He's there on the cross. He can't go nowhere. He's subject to the Roman government. The two thieves. What is He calling? Lord. He recognized Him as Lord. Do you understand, dear friend, the circumstance that you're in does not determine who Jesus is. Just because the thief was hung on the cross, it did not determine that Jesus was not Lord. Just because Jesus was on that cross did not determine that He was not Lord. He recognized Him as Lord. Lord. Let me say something, dear friend. I believe through the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ and the testimony that He had, that this ear brought conviction to this thief. And I will say this to you. I believe with all my heart that before someone is saved, conviction must proceed. I believe you got to know that you're a sinner. What did he say? We've just received it. You know what we try to do when the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with us? We try to look around us, look at this one, look at that one, think back, and we think about all the good things we've done. We add all this up. You know, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercies, what we say. I believe conviction fell all over this man. Said, shh, leave him alone. We've justly been condemned. He's done nothing. He's done nothing. Lord. Lord. He accepted Christ as Lord. He says this, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He saw Christ crucified. To turn to Him as Savior. He didn't see a resurrected Lord. You and I get the testimony of over 500 that says the Lord's He was resurrected, the power of God, and that's the proof of our eternal life. He believed without seeing the resurrection. I wonder this morning, dear friend, if you're lost without Christ this morning, what's holding you back? We have a Bible that's been complete, it's been written, it's been preserved by God Himself. And the Bible says if any man, woman, boy, or child calls upon Him and realizes that they are sinner, that from the heart salvation is wrought. When the mouth confession is made. The same Jesus, it says in Acts, what same Jesus? Not the one hanging on the cross. The resurrected Savior. The same Jesus which you're looking up in like manner shall come again different. I'm going to tell you, one day He's coming. He was interested in one more soul, Brother Don. One more. What's holding Him back today? One more soul. One more. That's why we as God's people have to be so busy about sharing Jesus with others. How many of you heard this? Man, I'm tired. I'm ready to go home to heaven. I'm just a pilgrim passing. I'm ready to go home to heaven. Reach that lasso. Yeah, quit going down there to Circle K and getting scratch-offs. Reach that lasso. Wouldn't it be amazing, Brother Ethan? You're there talking to somebody about the Lord and the little kids over in Discovery. And they call out to the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The sound of the trumpet of God sounds and bang, we're gone. You're talking about hitting a lottery. My. One more soul. Jesus died, dear friend, just as He lived. What was He concerned about? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. In His dying moments, He was concerned about someone's soul. How do we live? I wonder how do we live as God's people? We've got it pretty good. I'll be honest with you. I mean, you may not have millions and hundreds, or you may not even have a $10 bill in your pocket, dear friend. But if you're saved, you got a home in heaven. You got the Holy Spirit of God, the Almighty, omnipotent, all-knowing God living inside of you. And He cares for you. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, look on my left and look on my right, and no man care for my soul. You've probably been there before. There's been times in our life we looked around, it's like we ain't got a friend in this world. Praise God, we got a friend in Jesus. He said, but the Spirit cares for you. How are you living? You're living like we have a resurrected Lord? Are you living in such a way that you're sharing Jesus with your community and with those around you? I surely hope so, because that's how Jesus lived. And we are to be Christ-like. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed, the pianist is on the way. Perhaps this morning there'd be one lost this morning, never called out to Jesus as Savior. Perhaps the songs that were sung begin to prepare your heart. The word that was preached, the Holy Spirit of God began to preach. And say, I don't know you. You've been a pretty good person, but you've never called out to me for salvation. If you'd come this morning, we'd take the Word of God and we'd show you how God will save your soul. Not our church, but how God will save your soul. Perhaps this morning you've got to the point where you're just lonely and you've forgotten that Jesus loves you. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe there's difficulties or problems in your life that you need to cast your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. The altars are open. Come use them. What page, Brother Jim?